coming, and they're going to come into this place, and I want to see that they're looked after. I want to see that they get what they come for. Amen. That's what the kingdom is all about. Serving one another in love. Hallelujah. There's a friend of mine that I haven't seen her for a while, but her pastor was just telling me this recently, how she is, and I know this about Annie, she works a lot in government, and actually she in relationships between government people in Canada and government people in Israel. And she actually joins them together and is really a connector for them, and she serves them. Her pastor was telling me this. He said, you know, she's gone a lot of the times to Israel and different places and so forth. But when she comes back to our church, she said, when she comes, she said, well, I'm home for a month now, Pastor. She said she can be around the church, and if she'll overhear somebody about, oh, there's a, you know, we're having trouble in our Sunday school. There's somebody who's gone for a month, and we need somebody to fill in. And she said, Annie's right there. I'll do that. I'll do that right away. And the pastor said, oh, Annie, you're not here. You're working all the time. You're not here very much, you know. We don't have one. I'd love to do it. And he just talked about her servant's heart. How she just wants to do things to build the body of Christ up. She just desires to be involved in those things. And she's quick to, you know, just comes only to church for a month when she gets a chance. And she comes and she says, how can I serve? I think she knows what worship is about. God is looking for people who will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not a bunch of people who come just simply to sit down and soak in the presence of God or the Word of God and then go out and do nothing about it. We have to get back to the very basics of Christianity. The basics of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and the principles of the kingdom of God. I'm looking for a bunch of people who are on fire for God. Amen. That they're decided that the principles of the kingdom of God are worth paying the price to live. That Jesus Christ came, died on that cross for you and I so that we might be free, and I'm determined to walk in my freedom. I'm not going to allow Jesus to go to the cross for me and then do nothing about that. I'm determined. He has set me free. Therefore, I'm determined to walk in freedom. I hope you are too. We talk a lot about service, and we talked last week about, well, I'm not going to get into that, I guess, about how Jesus washed the disciples' feet and so forth, and how he was our example, and how he said, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. But I just want to share with you a scripture that was given to me yesterday. A lady came to me and said, I just feel that this scripture, that the Lord is speaking to you about this scripture. She gave it to me. Suddenly, things started clicking. One of the things that we were talking a lot about is that God was talking, the speaker, Lou Engle, who was preaching most of the time there, he was talking about how God was setting a crown on the nation of Canada, and that the nation of Canada was a nation that influences nations. Now, this is an American. Just to give you an idea of what's happening in America today, that he was, and this is the first time I've seen it from an American, he was almost begging Canada, help us. Help us. We are in dire straits. Spiritually, we need help. We need prayer. We need help because, and for him, one of the big things was the whole abortion issue and how that was crippling the land, and that the policies need to be changed concerning those things and all that. And he was crying out for help from Canada to pray for them. And I think, and he was saying, I know that the mantle of God is upon the nation of Canada now. We're asking for help from where we see, the place that we see the mantle of God upon. We're asking for help from that place. And we see it as Canada. So he was crying out for that because of the condition that they're in. And because he's seen the crown on the nation of Canada. And this lady came up to me yesterday and she said, I have the scripture in Isaiah chapter 22. And I so believe it's for you. And I never realized the significance into it until I prayed into it and looked at it and so forth. And the Lord brought things to my mind. So this is the key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulders. Now, who's he talking about here? The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulders. Those of us who know the scriptures and the Testament, we know he's talking about Jesus. The key of the house of David I will lay on his shoulders. So he shall open and no one shut, and he shall shut and no one open. I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he will become a glorious throne to his father's throne. He will become a glorious throne to his father's house. Now, immediately when I read that, I thought suddenly about these keys. And I thought how we got them here. And then I thought about the crown that were spoken about so much up there, with the crowns that were there. And I believe God is speaking to us through this. He's speaking to us as a people of God, that we are in a place where God wants to use us to declare His glory on the land and in the government. I don't believe it just for us as a church here, but for the church. Now, when I read that, I also began to think about a scripture relating to the keys of David in Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. In Revelation 3, verse 7 says, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write." Can any of you remember? Prophet of God came in here and he took this scripture. Well, we weren't in here then. We were in high school, yeah, in the lecture theater. Came in here and began to prophesy over our church concerning this scripture. And he said, "These things says he who is holy, he who is the true, who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens." And he goes, that scripture goes on to speak about that you and I are to be holy. And one of the things the prophet of God said was that we as a church, as a body, we are called to holiness. That some other people, some other churches may be able to get away with things, but we can't. We have to walk before God with clean hands and a pure heart because of the mandate that God has put upon us. And so I'm so encouraged and sense the power of God that He wants to release amongst our people, that 2012 is to bring us to such a place of favor that we will be a glorious house to our God. Amen. Praise God. Look what he says here. He says, "I will fasten him as a peg in a secure place, and he," now notice, he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ here, but aren't we his body? Doesn't the Bible say that we are the body of Christ? He's the head. And the Bible says that the key of David will be upon his shoulders. Well, the shoulders are part of the body. So he's talking about the body of Christ here. He's saying that the body of Christ holds keys in the kingdom today that can unlock things that will bring the advancement of the kingdom of God in on the earth, in our lives, but also in our nation. The body of Christ has keys, is holding the keys of the kingdom. What are we going to do with them? We'll never find out unless we choose to operate with the principles of the kingdom of God Almighty. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Ask ourselves when we get up in the morning, the things that we do, are we seeking first the kingdom of God? Are we walking in forgiveness? Are we walking in integrity? Are we refusing to judge other people? Are we operating in, and if we are, we can say, "God, I thank you for the blessing of the benefits of the kingdom of God. I thank you so much, Father. It's such a privilege to walk in the favor of God. I'm so thrilled, Lord, you set before me, your word says, you set before me life and death, blessing and cursing, and I choose life. I decide to live the life of God. I desire for the life of the Spirit of God to flow through me, even as I read His word, as I pray, as I work out my worship through the area of ministry and service, as I absolutely refuse to hold anything against anybody. I release them to you in the name of Jesus Christ." Would you stand with me, please? Praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Lord, I just ask you, God, to search our hearts right now. Father, that if there's anything amongst us that we have been clutching on to that's not in line with the kingdom of God, I ask, dear Father, that you might make us so aware of those things, Father. Lord, even if we do service for selfish motives, I pray, God, you would reveal them to us, God, so that we might get rid of them. We might cry out to you and say, "Lord, change us," so that we might worship you in spirit and in truth. God, that your Holy Spirit might have free reign in our lives, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I ask you to search our hearts right now in the area of forgiveness, God, if we're carrying any unforgiveness whatsoever, make it so clear to us. Let us see the ugliness of it. Let us see the defilement of unforgiveness, God. Let us see how ugly it is. And help us, Father, to present it to you, to release it in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, if we have judged people and we're in a place of receiving judgment, I ask you, Father, to help us, Lord, to recognize it in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that each one might be empowered by the Holy Spirit in order to release others. Father, that somehow our faith would rise up within us so that we'd be able to say, God, I forgive so-and-so. I want the best for them, Lord. I forgive them. I let them go in the name of Jesus Christ. Someone once said that by not forgiving somebody is like taking poison, expecting the other person to die. Unforgiveness is poison to ourselves. I just say this with me. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, realizing that He holds all power in heaven and on earth. I ask you to forgive me for holding unforgiveness toward others, for making judgments when I didn't even know I was making judgments. Forgive me, Lord. I ask that the power of the Lord Jesus Christ enables me to release those people in Jesus' name. I forgive right now. I forgive. Now you know who it is that you need to forgive. So you just say that to yourself. Between you and God, you know exactly who it is that you need to forgive and you need to let go. Just see them being let go, see them being released. And actually, what you can see is, visualize is yourself in a jail where the door is locked. And when you choose to forgive individuals, it's actually you that steps out of that jail cell. It's actually you that becomes released. And you have new freedom in Jesus' name. Say this, Father, I bless those people I once cursed, I now bless. Bless them, Lord. May your Holy Spirit get a hold of them and teach them the ways of the Lord in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Well, let's just sing a little bit the song and see if the Holy Spirit wants to do anything else here this morning. Thank you, God.
Reborn, overwhelmed by something I can't explain, something